please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to start my message off this morning a little differently than I originally planned and prepared, and I think I owe Rachel a dollar for doing this. And she'll remember that we went to church in Manchester on Cape Man a long time ago, and the preacher started talking about his wife, and he then told the story of how an incident he had related had been printed in the newspaper. It was the New York Times. And so it got wide coverage, and she said, well, it looks like you owe me a few $100 because a lot of people read the paper. And I think he tried to be careful about that. I'm not going to say anything that should embarrass Rachel, but I just wanted to give you full disclosure here. So many of you know that I have a yellow lab, Henley, and he's a very friendly dog, and he's getting on in years. And Henley is part of our family because Rachel picked him out. Now, one of her colleagues down in Brighton had parents who retired, and they decided they were going to breed puppies. And they were giving them away. There was no charge for them. We just had to take the dog and then, of course, get it examined and licensed and all those things. And we drove up to Milo, New Hampshire, which is way up there in the state. And we met the parents. They're really nice folks. And they had this litter full of puppies that were just born. And they were so cute and so lovely and so adorable. And I saw one of the puppies, and I thought that was the one we should get. In my mind, I already knew his name was Chester. Well, Rachel looked at the dogs, and she was drawn to a different puppy. And we talked a little bit, we watched the dogs gamble around, and it was clear that this other dog had claimed Rachel's heart, and I went along with it, and we got the dog, and we brought him home, and we didn't have a name. We couldn't think of what to call him, and we were falling back to a place where we were going to start calling him Dog, and then we came up with the name Henley. And Henley has been a wonderful dog, and two of Henley's siblings wound up living in Brighton. One of them was a girl dog from that pack, and that was Scout, and she was bold, and she was confident, and she was fast. And then there was Toby. Toby was Chester. Toby turned out to be a thug. And I'm really glad that I referred to Rachel, because Henley has not been a thug and he's been a wonderful dog to be around. But he might not have struck us as the pick of the litter when we first chose him. And I think that story is worth keeping in mind as we think about the calling of Paul and also of the disciples. None of these people would have seemed to be the pick of the litter. None of them. Think back to the story from John. And we read that Jesus had shown up on the shore, and he told the disciples where to go catch the fish. And then they brought the fish in. And Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he asked them that three times. And that could seem a little bit unreasonable to us. But we should remember what's gone on before. And we should remember that on the night when Jesus was, before he was crucified, Peter denied him three times. So it was not unreasonable for Jesus to be testing Peter. The important thing, though, is that despite Peter's denial of Jesus, Jesus still chose him. Jesus still wanted him to provide leadership to his church and to the community of disciples. And that's what counts in that story. If we look at the story from Acts, we read about the calling of Saul, who, as you know, is going to be known as Paul after he gets engaged in ministry. Now, we don't know much about Paul in the historic sense, but the Bible tells us that Paul had his health issues and we're left with the impression impression that he's not the most physically imposing specimen, and we can sense that Paul was difficult at times, and he can be rather cutting in his comments, and yet he also was possessed of magnificent intellect. And he pulled together the ideas about Jesus and wrote to the different Christian communities that were forming in the Mediterranean world. Paul wrote his letters before the Gospels were written down. Paul was a titan of the faith. And yet, is he the one we would have picked? Was he the most engaging? Was he the warmest? Was he the most charismatic? God saw something in him that we might have overlooked. And Paul was picked to be the apostle who would go out and spread the word. Now, what does this have to do with us? The answer is simple. Each and every one of us is called by God. Each of us has a gift, has faith, has something to share with the wider community. It doesn't matter whether we're young or old, tall or short, overweight or very, really thin. God wants each and every one of us to be engaged in the life of our community. Here in the church, and in the wider community, love it. We are all called. Now, I'm not going to suggest that we should try to be like Paul. I'm sure we're all smart here, but Paul was off in a league of his own, and trying to win everyone over to our point of view by engaging in deep theological arguments is not always the best approach. But we should listen. And then we should think. And then hopefully we will act. If we look back at the story from John, I don't know how many of you go fishing. Have a show of hands? Okay, there are a few of you. I am not a fisherman. But I do remember that as a kid, I liked to go down to the reservoir near the town where I grew up. And it was lovely to sit on the shoreline and cast the line, and I really didn't catch anything. But I enjoyed the sunshine, and I enjoyed the water before me. And if I wanted to know about fishing, I could talk to my Uncle Alex. Now, Alex was an interesting guy. He was from Hungary, and after the Germans had invaded, he had crossed lines and went to fight with the Americans. And he wound up becoming a sergeant in the U.S. Army. He jumped out of airplanes as a paratrooper, and he was a gruff, hearty guy. He came to the United States, and he married my father's sister. Now, there were many water bodies in Hungary, and there's a river, but there's nothing like the ocean. But for some reason, Alex was called to the sea. And he loved to go deep sea fishing. And when I was a kid, Alex would often come to our house on a Sunday afternoon with fishing pole. And these are big fish. And he would gut them, and he would skin them, and then he would broil them for us. And we always had these tremendous dinners. I don't know who told Alex where to look for the fish, but there was somebody on the boat who knew how to read the charts, who was able to monitor the sonar, who was able to find the fish. And he was willing to listen to them. That was key. Alex would strike me as being this rough, go-it-alone person, but there was more to him. And that was really important. And I hope that there's more to us too, that we'll look beyond ourselves, to one another, they'll hear ideas, they'll process them, and sometimes we'll even accept them. God is calling us, and he's calling each and every one of you. It doesn't matter whether you've been a member of this community for 40 years, or you've been here for 40 minutes. We want you. God wants you. And I hope you can feel that sense of welcome and empowerment here. So I'm going to just leave one last thought with you. And that is that in a few short minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. And we can make all sorts of eye-rolling comments about the cups and how the disciples didn't share the Lord's Supper in a little prepackaged cup. They weren't dealing with coronavirus. But I want you to think about the story from John again, about how there were so many fish that the disciples had trouble bringing them on board and then bringing Paul to shore. That was symbolic of God's grace and God's love. The communion table is a symbol of God's grace and God's love. And it doesn't matter whether we have the small cup or we get to eat the bread. Or we may be doing it at home and we'll have bread of our own there. All of it symbolizes God's love and grace, which is made freely available to each of us, to all of us. That's something for which we should give thanks. And we should do it today and every day. Would you please join me in spirit? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture, which recounts the calling of the disciples and the other faithful throughout the years. Help us to follow their example, to be faithful, to love you and our fellow men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.